welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, into the Eclipse episode of the Get Around Podcast, episode 280. We are starting this podcast mere minutes away from the solar eclipse that is happening all across North America, which means we will be taking a break as soon as Jordan's alarm goes off. We'll go outside, look up in the sky. We'll come back and we'll all be blind. It'll be wonderful, but you'll still be able to hear our soothing, angelic voices on your whatever you're listening to this podcast through. But welcome in episode 280 of the Get Around Podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Queeley. Joining me, James Cook and Jordan Puente. We have got a very good show for you. Different format this week. We're doing things a little bit different as we start the spring sports season. We're going to take this approach, and we might do it for the other seasons as well. We'll kind of see how this plays out. But we all want to allow the spring sports season at least the first few weeks to kind of shake out.
Marinate.
And see what's happening, who's doing well, who's not doing well, what are the trends that we see. And then we'll start getting into the meat and covering local sports that way here on the podcast. This week, I thought we would talk about a couple of subjects that are getting national attention recently and how they apply either locally or at the high school level. So we'll be talking a little bit about the rapid increase in arm injuries for pitchers and the increase in Tommy John surgeries. We're also going to be looking at the new concussion guidelines that have been at least recommended to help student athletes get back to a sense of normalcy a little quicker when they suffer a concussion and how we feel about that. We will get into our Athlete of the Week. We've got three that are up for nomination. We'll end the show as we always do with our happy endings, talk about what made us happy inside and outside of sports. Jordan is going to go on a 10 to 15 minute dialogue about how much he loves professional wrestling now. So it's really I'm really excited for him. It's going to be the state of the Jordan speech. I'm very excited. But yeah, we will get into that a little bit later. So welcome in, and hopefully the show goes well. I think it will. I'm excited to talk about these things. What we will start, as we always do, before our question of the week, with a word from our sponsor, Jimmy John's. This episode of the Get Around is brought to you by Jimmy John's. Jimmy John's has two locations here in Traverse City: Freaky Fresh, Freaky Fast. Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah.
Yeah.
Question of the week time. It's Monday. It's Eclipse Day, but it is also National Championship Day. Yesterday was also National Championship Day for the women. So my question of the week is, with how good the NCAA women's tournament has been, does the end of the NCAA men's tournament feel somewhat anticlimactic, or are you geared up like you are every year?
This year feels differently. At least for me it does. It feels a little bit different.
Totally does.
Some people are pushing for Purdue because Purdue has never done it, and then see people are pushing for UConn just for them to go back-to-back. I mean, yeah, they both have storylines, but I don't know. It doesn't have the same pull that the women's tournament had. This, I don't know. It's just it feels different.
How did you feel watching such an important game yesterday at 3 p.m.?
Well, I was working, so I was watching it on my phone. It was awesome. Had people. It was not a soul walking into that theater though, so I was able to watch it. It was a game. That was a heck of a game. I hated the fact that I was standing, just looking clueless, while people are walking up to me. Can I get tickets to this? Yeah, of course. Peeped down at my phone. Oh, wow, they're winning. Oh, they're up by 10. Oh, no, they're losing. Now they're down by 9. Oh, they're coming back. They're down by 2. Yeah, it was a climax. That was a roller coaster of a game. From what I was able to watch, pretty roller coaster. James, were you able to watch it?
No.
Oh, gee. It was on ESPN Plus.
It was on ABC, wasn't it?
It was on ABC.
Yes.
Too. It was
yeah.
on ABC.
It was on ESPN
Plus.
I
looked for ABC and I don't have ABC. It's like the only network pretty much that I don't have. So we thought about going somewhere to watch it, but then we had things to do around the house before we went to the writer series thing that we went to in the evening. But I thought it was weird that they, like, it seemed like an opportunity to put that in prime time. Mm-hmm. Like, why put it at 3 o'clock?
I think they didn't want to go up against WrestleMania. I don't think they wanted to go up against night two of WrestleMania.
Smart,
and
though.
It was WrestleMania 40.
That's
it was
a pretty
huge
big deal.
WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And there were so many storylines that,
I'm so glad they did it.
I mean, it's the same. People know what else is going on in mm-hmm. the world of whether it's sports entertainment, pop culture, things like that, where they're like, yeah, all right, we want to have it on this day, but do we want to go up against something that's going to bring in, mm-hmm. Millions
it's
upon millions
smart
of views.
That they did not. Because I know there's people that are like, oh, why don't they just switch it to 7 o'clock? That's prime time. You're going to get a lot more viewers. But then you just mentioned it. WrestleMania is the same day as WrestleMania. So to have it a couple hours beforehand, let people digest the game. And then those who are watching the game, obviously probably the same people that are going to go watch WrestleMania. So you get a full day of just relaxation. Like, you get an intense basketball game, and then you get intense matches of WrestleMania. That's how I took it.
Yeah, and not that everybody watches... I would say that not everybody who watches WrestleMania watches wrestling every single week.
Correct.
WrestleMania is... Mm. It is the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Wrestling.
You get a lot of the casual same, people watch
yeah,
it, just like
people,
football.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that's probably why they had that game on... At that time, Jordan, how close are we getting to the alarm going off for
2 minutes? 3:03.
Should we just, you know what? Let's we'll continue this conversation when we come back, because I do want to talk a little bit more about just how odd I'm feeling about the men's national championship game.
That's fine.
I think we're all kind of feeling that.
Yeah,
it's just
I'll watch. But
We'll watch.
I can't name one player on UConn.
That's
where we're at.
So let's take a quick break. We'll hear another word from our sponsor, Jimmy John's, and then we will come back and talk for the rest of the show. But we're going to go out for the eclipse right now. So we'll be back. This episode of The Get Around is brought to you by Jimmy John's and their two locations here in Traverse City. At Jimmy John's, they're freaks about fresh bread, meats, and veggies, because that means better sandwiches for all. Freaky fresh, freaky fast, Jimmy John's.
Freak yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Alrighty, we are back after getting pretty lucky, I think. We ran into some coworkers out there who had the sunglasses that were necessary to see what the eclipse looked like, and it was awesome. Hopefully you had the sunglasses. Hopefully you had a chance to get out there and look up into the sky, even just look on the ground and see the shadows. And
hopefully you still have your sight.
Hopefully you still have your sight. And just feel how, I don't know, how cool that was. I will say this, the moon has a very special place in my heart. I wear a moon
nice.
On a charm on my neck. It's in honor of my dog, Luna, which means moon.
Moon.
And she was, this phase that I have here on my necklace, it's the moon that she was born under, the moon that the day we found her, and it's the same moon the day she passed. So having this happen just 2 days after the year mark of her passing is pretty special. Absolutely spectacular, and it is... for me personally, I know it's bigger and all that, but to me, I look up at that, I see that eclipse, and I just see my dog saying hi.
That's dope.
Very, 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 very cool. We'll get into that a little bit more when we get into what made us happy this week. Really awesome.
That was awesome. Wow.
It was really nice to share that with you guys.
That was awesome.
To go out there and just be in it. That was a lot of fun. The last time this happened, 2017, I was on the Cottonwood Trail at Pierce Stocking Scenic Drive in the Sleeping Bear Dunes with Luna
mm-hmm.
at the time, and with my other dog who has passed as well, Guinness. And so this was This was fun.
I can tell.
This was fun, and glad to experience that. Hope you all had a wonderful eclipse as well. Do we want to talk more about the NCAA tournament? And
don't you have, like, two cents? Like, you're talking about how, like, you have, not say no care, but, like, no peak interest, but you have, like, a different feeling or different vibe about this compared to years past?
I will say that there were years where I was so excited about the national championship game that I ducked out of places that I needed to be early to go and watch the game.
Nice.
Like, I was, when my sister was going through her confirmation, we had to go to a mass on that Monday night before her, and it was a really long mass.
You did not.
And we left early. And as we were leaving, one of the sisters or the nuns said to me, "Game's probably not going to start until 7:30.
She knew.
She knew exactly why I was leaving. I was like, that is a perfect summation of the Catholic Church, which is feel guilt and feel bad. Because that sister slash nun, whatever, she was laying on a heavy guilt trip just with those few words.
See the numbers at the woman's?
But this one, I'll go to mass if I have to.
You see the numbers at the women's tournament has put up?
I know that when we talked about it a little bit last week, but that the Iowa LSU game,
they surpassed it. They surpassed their own records.
Last night's.
I know the final four was.
The Friday game. Yeah.
The Friday
Which
game.
I did. I was able to watch that one.
Yeah, buddy.
I stopped at a place.
Nice.
On the way back from Cadillac.
Oh,
Friday
nice.
Night. I stopped at a bar and found that had the game on. And
nice.
Everybody in there was watching it.
Yeah, it's. I guess it's the most. As far as, like, ESPN televising basketball games, that is the highest rating they have ever gotten since, like, 2001 or 2 around there. Absurd. Women's.
I think that it is very fair and very accurate to say that the women's tournament
rocked.
And even the season has overshadowed the men.
1,000%. I think that's
a really good thing because all that signals is growth.
Correct.
It signals growth and interest and more connection. More people are going to talk about...
The WNBA.
About the WNBA. It's the same reason why all of the hype surrounding Taylor Swift going to the Super Bowl was such a good thing. Because it provided opportunities for people to come together.
Correct.
Right? To find a common interest. And that's really all that we're looking for, right? All of us want to go outside and take
watch
a look
the eclipse.
At the eclipse, right? Common connection, shared experience. And the popularity of the women's game is only a good thing.
My hope is, and I think this should be the last thing I have on this, is when the NBA was kind of, I mean, the NBA's been around for a while, but it didn't boom until Bird and Magic faced off in college. And once Bird and Magic went to the NBA, they heavily used them as, I don't want to say pawns, but they vocalized them as their main stars of the NBA, to where the NBA was able to develop so many more stars. They came out, and which is now why we know the NBA as it is today. Now the WNBA has an opportunity to do the same thing with not just Caitlin Clark, but with Angel Lee's, Cameron Brink, who's coming out of Stanford, and a few, Paige Beckers, which is be next year. Like, they have this is their window of opportunity to be like, okay, we need to capitalize on this. Maybe someone else like LeBron, who's been huge on investing in a team, invests in a WNBA team.
I think
adding more teams to it, maybe bring back the team in Detroit, because that was awesome.
Detroit Shock. Yeah. They won a title. I think this could be for the WNBA what
what happened to the NBA when they had that infusion of talent all at the same time with players like Magic Johnson mm-hmm. and Larry Bird all coming into the game at the same time that were just mega stars.
Correct.
And it, before that, the NBA had, like, attendance was low. Flagging. You know, it was just fights yep. and all this. It wasn't a great product. Nope. And then a couple of superstars came around and really turned things around. And I think that they can do that with the WNBA.
It was watch what I can do and watch what I can do on a regular basis.
Correct. And I hope.
I will show you spectacular basketball at its peak.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing in the now. Women's game right now.
I
and
love it. I'm here for it.
It's not only that, but it's the personalities are such a big part of this as well. The personalities are enormous, but there is still that competitive drive with respect in there as well. And I think not to become the business focused part of this, but the TV rights deal is what's going to be very important about this too. Right? It is so mm-hmm. difficult to find where you need to go to get in front of the most eyes. Like, not to bring up wrestling again, but Monday Night Raw, which has been on cable television since its existence, since its start, is going to a streaming platform in 2025.
Netflix,
it's
right?
On Netflix.
Yeah.
So that's, and you are seeing these streaming platforms. You're seeing things like Max, which
March Madness
has so many different sections. That now have access to live sports, the ESPN yep. with the Disney Plus with, or the Hulu with Disney Plus and ESPN Plus and Hulu. Where do you go? So do you stay on traditional cable television? Do you look at going to a streamer? What's going to get the most eyes on this game? Because James, we talked about your difficulty
trying to
be able to watch
this game,
and that's not what you want. It's the one thing that angers me so much about Major League Baseball.
Oh, they're doing this too.
They put roadblocks in,
blockouts,
to your ability to watch the product, because they believe that standard cable is the
king.
Is the only way to go.
I know Apple TV, when they play baseball games, if it's like the Tigers, I know with the Dodgers, when I was back living home in California, they would broadcast Dodger games on Apple TV Fridays, because that's when they would have the rights. It would be blocked out.
Yeah.
Because it's local, but it's the Dodgers, and it's supposed to be streaming to everyone. ESPN kind of does this sometimes too. There'll be days where I'm trying to watch the Red Wings. I can't do that at all because it's local, so I can only check on the scores. I hope eventually down the road they will fix this, but right now it's pretty frustrating.
It's a broken system in terms of viewing sports. So many of us want to consume these things.
Yeah.
Right, and I think so many of us will want to consume
women's basketball.
And the WNBA.
I want to.
I want to see these players who went at it in college. I want to see them on the professional level.
And this is the last season for Diana Taurasi. She said she's retiring after this season, so I want to watch any chance I can.
She was. Do you know how Caitlin Clark was for you?
That's how Diana Taurasi was for you.
Yes.
Oh, I'm well aware of that. Yeah.
Was watching her at UConn.
Oh, then I have a story to tell you.
I will follow you wherever you go.
I have a story to boy.
I did want to say one thing that was very funny about the blackouts. I got to bring up the White Sox.
Nice.
I don't know if you guys saw this on social media, but someone posted a picture that I made the rounds. Maybe it was just making the rounds on White Sox Twitter, which is a dumpster fire of a place to be in. That'll be my question 1 week. Like, what's the one corner of social media that you participate in that is an absolute pond of scum? It's just terrible, White Sox Twitter. But someone posted a picture of at the ballpark where they have TVs around the ballpark.
Oh yeah, I've seen this.
You saw this.
Yeah, they didn't even they were yes.
So the White Sox had the game blacked out at their own Park. They couldn't watch
their own game.
They couldn't broadcast their own game on TV because of MLB's rules. If you want to know how broken it is, or if you want to know how dumb the White Sox are, now you know.
Did you see that video of them going out into the field, and they were at bat, and the first base coach forgetting to go out to first base?
Yeah. He was inside the locker room listening to music. And the excuse is, oh, he was in there breaking down film. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm sure.
What film was he breaking down?
Sure, he was breaking down the film of the rain delay. God, just take some accountability.
It would have been baseball. Better if they said he was banging in a trash can.
Baseball's back. That's rough.
All right. Well, that was a good conversation. Sorry, Jordan, I cut you off. But
you're good. I'll make this quick. But my best friend, currently right now, Diana Taurasi is from Chino, California. I'm from Chino Hills, California, which is a freeway down up the road. She went to a local high school up the road that I used, the city that I live in. I didn't know any of this. I knew she was from Southern California. I didn't know where. She's from Chino. My best friend, her parents still live on the same block. They are best friends. So the Taurasi family is best friends with my friend's family. And he would show me photos, still to this day, of them going to their house, vice versa, hanging out, having conversations, as if that's not one of the most mega stars women in the game, Diana Taurasi. Like, people know who she is. And I had to explain to him, I was like, do you understand how huge that is? The fact that he was showing me photos of when they were kids with Diana Taurasi and her whole family, and even still to this day, like, they communicate as if that's normal.
I don't think it's gonna happen in my life, but I keep waiting. I've always wanted to just know someone who becomes famous, right? Like, I look at, like, our former colleague here, Brett Summers, who lifts the heaviest of weights. And I was thinking that, I'm like, it would be funny if he became a professional wrestler.
Ooh.
Like, I was just, I'm like, that would, I mean, he's jacked up, he's got the strength, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, that would be wild to just, and like, not hear from him or what, like, he wouldn't tell me that he's training to do this or anything like that. But like, just like, one day I'm watching, like, indie wrestling, and, like, he walks out, and I'm like, what is going on?
You will flip.
But, like, have you guys ever, like, obviously, you are famous people adjacent to several professional athletes.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough.
I'm not really, owners. I mean, I guess Doug Mirabelli, but, like, that was, we knew him after his run with the Red Sox. James, have you ever known someone who's become famous?
God, I'm struggling to come up with anybody. I mean, you have high school athletes that you cover, and then they go on to play college or maybe even some pro, and stuff. But
no one's who's ever, like, taken over the national conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. I'm still waiting for it. James is still waiting for it. Jordan knows a bunch of famous. He's from California, so that makes sense. All right,
that's what people say to me. Like, people literally say that, like, oh, you're from California, you must know all of these people. I'm like, no, I know. I've just been fortunate enough to come across paths with people who know people, and I got to meet them. Yes, sure.
All right, let's get into the area code game, then we'll get into the pulse. Answers for 279, guesses for 279. Jordan, you had Abu Dhabi. Dune 2. James, you had Detroit for the Trevor Noah special. And I had the town of Halstead, Pennsylvania for the TV show The Gentleman. So the answer for area code 279 is code 9279 USA, Sacramento.
Oh,
and the surrounding areas of Sacramento.
Sacktown, California.
The new home of the Oakland A's.
The new home of the Oakland A's, yeah. So nobody wins.
That acronym, I just can't.
Wait, what's the acronym?
So when they play, it's set.
They're just gonna be called
when
bad
they
bugs.
Play Baltimore. If they would ever play Baltimore, and they play, there you
okay.
go.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. I've always like we had a C-3PO the other day. I don't know if you guys saw that. I think it was Cincinnati versus Pittsburgh.
Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, I saw
and
that.
It was Cincinnati 3, Pittsburgh 0. So it was C-3PO.
Nice. Yeah.
That was. I
love funny things like that.
When that happens.
Oh, that was awesome.
I don't know if you could get R2-D2. Could you? Is there a Detroit, and is there anyone that begins with an R?
Rangers, no. No, there's no one that...
No, I don't think so.
Someone that is listening is going to be like, I know what the answer is.
Minor league, you probably could.
One of these guys.
Yeah, sure, minor
Richmond
league, like
or...
Raleigh or
yeah,
something, yeah.
Something like that. All right. guesses for the 281 area code, guys. Anybody want to go? What have you been watching recently that's...
I'll just take New York. I think I've done it before, but there's just been several things that are kind of New York centric. You know, we watch SNL usually every week, and this
week tonight, or what is it? Last week tonight.
Oh
with,
yeah,
with John Oliver all the time,
of course.
But also the NFL Network's morning show is going to be moving from New York to LA.
LA
football
as part of their
yep.
their reorganization and
yep.
cutting
right
some
across
people and all
and
that.
So far.
They're moving that. So, bunch of New York ties to stuff that,
mm-hmm.
that
all right,
I watch.
So, New York for just many shows. Jordan, what do you got?
Yeah, I dabbled back into Game of Thrones after watching Dune.
Westeros. Okay, I don't know where, I don't know
no, that's
that
No, that's the thing. So, I looked up where most of it was filmed. So, I'm going with Northern Ireland.
Northern Ireland. All right. Mine is easy, but I need to write this down first.
Let me guess, is it Philly?
Yeah.
Because that was going to be mine, but I was going to let you have that.
Of course it's Philly. How could it not be Philly?
WrestleMania.
Yeah, so how could it not be Philly? WrestleMania.
there it is.
My goodness. I mean...
I was going to give it to him. That was going to be mine just for the honorary.
It is just every year it...
I get it. I get it now.
It's my Super Bowl.
I get it.
I do. I have so much fun.
I get it.
I will talk about it more when we get to happy endings.
I got some things to add.
It was it was spectacular. It was in Philly. Philly crowd was great.
Loud.
They were a little quiet on Saturday night for a WrestleMania crowd just because it was cold, and that makes sense.
The amount of times I addressed how cold it was probably like well over 10 times. I am well in. I feel like I'm in it now.
You're like, I'm watching Raw. I'll watch NXT on Tuesday, Dynamite on Wednesday. So, all right. So, yeah, my guess will be
Philadelphia. WrestleMania.
And I don't think that's correct.
Hey, it's okay. Neither is Northern Ireland, but here we are.
Okay. All right. Good deal. So, one more word from our sponsors, then let's get into the polls. This episode of The Get Around is sponsored by Jimmy John's, two locations in Traverse City. Order a tasty sandwich with the Jimmy John's app. Jimmy John's, freaky fresh, freaky fast.
Freak yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, so back before I took a job here at the Traverse City Record Eagle as a sports writer, I worked in a little town in central Illinois called Rantoul. It's about 15-20 minutes north of where the University of Champaign, or University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana is. During that time, I did a three-part series on Tommy John surgeries, on pitcher arm injuries, things like that. Have I told you? I don't know if I've told you. James, you know that I've done this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for this, I have to tell one of my favorite stories. I got to interview the legendary Tommy John.
Oh, wow.
And speak with him about the surgery that bears his name and how he feels about his legacy. It's important, I think, now to talk about this given the increase in arm injuries, UCL injuries that require Tommy John. So many are going through Tommy John. The one thing I will say about if you ever get a chance, I don't know if you still like this. This is now going back 8 years ago, at least 8 years ago, when I talked to him, he was like, it's like talking to your cool grandpa, I think is the best way to put it. Like, he was just a cool, down-to-earth guy who was very honest, talking about his time growing up in Terre Haute, Indiana, and how basketball was king, but he wanted to play baseball. One of the quotes that will live with me forever is, there was a trend at that time of, there were certain doctors recommending that high school pitchers get Tommy John surgery before they injure a ligament in their arm. So it was like a preemptive strike against Tommy John, because at that time there was a lot of people who were coming back from Tommy John stronger. And I asked Tommy John about this. I said, what do you think about these doctors who are recommending that high school athletes get Tommy John before they have an injury? And I will never forget what he said, which was, they should lose their medical license and their testicles. He thought it was so irresponsible to put a still growing human being through that process. So it's really interesting now that we look at it. I don't know if we have, you know, I talked to a couple area athletes, you know, from my coverage area when I was in Rantoul, who went through Tommy John surgery. There was one who I, you know, was, I had a good relationship with during his time playing for Rantoul High School. When he left to go to college, he had to get Tommy John surgery while he was in college. And then I did a feature on him as he was making his comeback to try to pitch. Now he's a pitching coach for the same college that he attended.
Oh, nice.
And I'm just curious to talk to you guys about this. And as someone who covers sports, who covers high school sports more specifically, and you're seeing what's happening as velocity is
increasing,
continuing to be that mecca, that or that zenith that pitching coaches, colleges, professional teams want players to hit. They want more break, more. I mean, you're looking at spin rate now. All of these things that are driving more torque and force
to the elbow.
And are you worried about that reaching the high school level? You know, I'm not sure if it's still a rule, but I think in like Little League baseball, pitchers can't throw curveballs in Little League.
I know when I played, you couldn't, but that was way back. But I think that still may be the case, that they're just not allowed to throw curveballs because that puts a lot of pressure on an elbow, especially a young kid's elbow who's still developing.
Well, so the UCL isn't done maturing until after someone is 26 years old.
Whoa.
So if you think about that, you think about the people who are under that age who have gotten Tommy John, their UCL is still growing, still maturing, still hasn't gotten to its final spot. How do we...
I didn't know that.
Maybe that's what those doctors were thinking. They're like, yeah, well, we'll just replace it with one that's essentially already done.
Yeah.
Done. That part I didn't know. That's actually the first time I ever knew that you're not done growing until it's 26.
Yeah. I think a part of it, and this is from somebody who has Spencer Strider on his fantasy team, and he's got put in the DL with, you know, elbow inflammation, which is the dreaded... a lot of times precursor to somebody having to have Tommy John surgery. I think you're seeing MLB teams, and even now to the point college teams, just building in a certain number of our pitchers are going to have this surgery every season.
Yeah.
So they load up.
And just figuring, you know, it's going to happen. Not finding necessarily a way to prevent it, just... we have to get enough arms so that when four or five of our guys in our system have to have their elbow redone, we have enough guys. That seems to be the thing. And part of that goes with that it's the Tommy John surgery isn't the death sentence that it used to be.
No, a lot of pitchers come back strong, but
yeah.
For the ones that don't, do these teams that are supposed to be, these organizations that are supposed to be taking care of the players,
mm-hmm.
right, do they not bear some responsibility for these injuries?
Right? Oh, yeah. Well, to manage it, so.
I mean, if I look at...
I mean, Shohei Ohtani has to get Tommy John, and this is his second one.
Right. I mean, Garrett Crochet, he had to get Tommy John. Lucas Giolito had to get Tommy John. Tyler Glasnow had to get Tommy John.
Who's the Garrett? Max Scherzer.
Carlos Rodon. It is... It's just something that's
seems like it's amped up more
and over and over again.
Yeah.
And does the game need to change? I know in high school there are pitch counts, but
also in
is there a point where we say, and this is not me advocating for this at all, but this is me asking this question, where we put mile per hour limits on pitchers in high school or college, maybe not in the pros. I understand that, but
I think
look at Paul Skeens from the Pittsburgh Pirates, who's throwing 100 miles an hour without lifting a finger. It looks like
he was doing that in
and
college.
And so you then see, he was doing that in college, right? And then you see, how is that not going to be attractive to younger pitchers? Mm-hmm. How are they not? I mean,
I want to be Paul. I want to be throwing.
And the responsibility has to be on the coaches. The coaches need to be informed. The teams need to be informed. There needs to be a culture of taking care of the players and not looking at them simply for their skills, because their skills might be the thing that is going to hurt them.
Also, covering the Pittsburghers these past couple of years, I noticed that he doesn't throw out his guys who recently pitched. I'm drawing a blank on his name because it's been a minute since we covered the Pittsburghers.
Josh Reband?
Thank you. He's a college college manager, and then in the summer he does Pittsburghers stuff.
Pitching coach.
Yeah, he's a pitching coach. So having conversations with him about just pitchers in general, he gets it. He understands that it's a wear and tear on these guys' arms, that he doesn't want to overuse them. And I think another thing would be just the overuses of pitchers. I'm not saying a lot of high schools do it, but if you look, I know the season just started, and it just seems I don't want to use her as an example. It's just because I don't want to single anyone out. Recently, Cameron Craig went a no-hitter in one game and then threw another 4.5 innings the following right after. As far as just the usage of pitchers in general, like, it seems like they only using one of them as opposed to not saving them for the long, because the season is long. So a lot of them are reusing the pitchers yet again for their second game, or it's just the usage of them, I've noticed since I've moved here, has been high.
Yeah. Well, softball's a totally different animal.
Okay.
The motion for softball
is a natural.
It's still
motion,
but you're still using the arm, though. Like, you're still
using strength, but it's not putting that same kind of pressure on the arm.
Okay.
Right. Softball pitchers can do that.
Okay.
Day and night, it seems like.
Okay.
Do you guys remember?
Baseball is an unorthodox, not natural movement for the human body.
Right, and it's so the mechanics are so different for everyone. I'll bring up a couple of former pitchers, Mark Pryor.
Oh, yeah.
For the Chicago Cubs, who was basically seen as pinnacle of perfect mechanics.
He was really good.
He really was. Everyone looked at him and goes, that is exactly how a pitcher should pitch. And he, despite what were supposed to be his perfect mechanics, he still got hurt. So all that says is that we don't know what the perfect mechanics are, but it's not a natural thing for someone to be throwing 100 miles an hour or 85 miles an hour with torque on your elbow trying to get that spin on a slider, because you want to throw an 87 mile an hour slider because you have a 99 mile an hour fastball. I wonder if you look back what last season, George Kirby for the Seattle Mariners,
oh, yeah.
he faced all that backlash when he said in a post-game interview that he shouldn't have been pitching in the seventh inning.
I remember this.
And everyone was like, oh, you got no dog in you, you know, you got no heart, you got no passion, you're not
that was
willing.
Arm was
and,
gone.
And I think now everybody who ragged on him owes him an apology.
Yeah.
Because he was like, no, I am taking care of myself.
Yeah.
I am thinking mm-hmm. about the longevity
of my life.
Career, not the fact that I should be out there in the seventh inning when I'm at 109 pitches or whatever it is. Tyler Glasnow, who I brought up earlier,
same situation.
He was talking about how the crackdown on sticky stuff has also led to a lot of the injuries because players are having to grip the ball harder and they are having – it's putting more pressure throughout the arm as they're gripping harder. More pressure is going through that, and you're seeing more – Lucas Giolito, White Sox yeah. pitcher, who used the sticky stuff. Once that stuff went away, he's having Tommy John surgery.
Max Scherzer mm-hmm. is the same way.
So,
yeah.
There's got to be a way that we can start safeguarding against this, and it needs to start at the high school and college level because that's what will drive things going to the pros.
Is there anything that high school pitchers use like as far as like sticky stuff? Because I haven't covered a game like a lot
no,
to
not,
realize this. So they're just going out just throwing like without yeah. any.
You can have the typical rosin bag.
Right, Glasnow said that he uses sunscreen and rosin.
Yeah, that's you mix it.
Yeah,
yeah. So does Clayton Kershaw because I remember he spoke on this.
And I'm kind of like, well. What do I?
What are you supposed to do?
What do I care about here? What should we? What do we care about here? And I think with the high school there does need to be something there where you like no if you throw faster than 88 miles an hour it's an automatic ball.
Have you seen any pitchers go? I because we don't have like a gun where we can see how
no.
fast some of these pitchers have thrown. Do you know if any of these local high school kids can reach the 75, 80 mile per hour range? Because I don't either.
I don't.
That'd be very. I mean, if they can, that's very impressive. Like, don't get me wrong, but like, you still got a whole like life ahead of you, buddy.
Right. You're yeah. looking at.
You still got a life ahead of you.
Griffiths throws in the 80s.
You serious?
For TC West, yeah.
No,
and Wyatt Danilevich from TC West for a couple years before him.
Yeah.
He was hitting high 80s as a lefty.
Oh my goodness. Whoa, that's some...
Yeah, Klug, Klug threw in the 80s.
Wow.
And that's already...
I'm curious to hear, like, how his... Like, so when he's done pitching, when Jack is done pitching, after throwing up, seems like 80-plus miles per hour, like, almost every count. I'm not saying every count. How does his arm feel afterwards? Because you're young. Like, you're, like, what is it, 17, 18? Like, you're not 26. So how does your arm feel? And also, my next question would be, how does West... Mm-hmm. Prioritize making sure, okay, he can't go next game, but maybe he can go the game after. Like, how do coaches map that out? Because I know they have to protect the player's future.
Yeah.
So how do they go about making sure that the players are okay?
I think from now on, that has to be
in the
front of every coach's mind when he sends a pitcher out onto the mound. Sorry,
yeah.
I didn't mean to jump on you, James.
No, I think we're seeing that a lot more. You know, when you talk to Josh Reban, even with the Pittsburghers, college coaches who send their players to the Pittsburghers often have
fears,
restrictions. No, like outright restrictions.
Oh, really?
You can only use this guy for X number of innings this summer.
That makes sense.
You can only pitch, you know, every so many days or so many innings. And, you know,
that makes so much sense.
They want to keep their guys healthy. They want them to get better.
I get it.
With experience, but they want to keep them healthy. The pitch count in high school baseball, I think, is
75
is a good start.
75.
Yeah, basically 70. If you pitch over 75, you have to take, I think it's 4 days off.
Yeah.
If you just get in under 75, then it's 3.
And if it's under 50,
postseason
two?
Two.
Yeah.
Yep. Whoa.
Postseason two.
Okay.
So, you know, it's a good start.
It is a good start.
You know, there's some people that are saying that the pitch clock in Major League Baseball is not helping things, although there hasn't been any definitive proof in that or anything like that. But we are, what, a week into the MLB season, and we've seen three or four starting pitchers go down with symptoms that are
the Mets
indicative
pitcher.
Of possibly having to have Tommy John surgery
Beavers.
In the future.
Beavers, one of them.
This early.
Garrett Cole won.
Yep,
Beaver. Strider. Yeah, Bieber. and a couple others. And you mentioned the one pitcher's name, and I can't remember his name. He's a
Glasnow?
Young, big prospect.
Paul Skeens?
No, the other one that you talked about.
Tyler Glasnow.
The White Sox pitcher?
Garrett Crochet.
Crochet, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was another young guy who, like, it looks like...
He had Tommy John last year. He kept him out, like, 18 months at least.
Doing it again?
So,
yeah.
Jeez, man.
We haven't been talking for 2 hours, have we, guys?
No.
I don't think so.
Because that's what it says here on the recorder, so I
wonder if you started on the end of another episode.
Maybe I must have started on the end of another episode. I thought I thought I hit new.
There was no way.
That's fine. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I'll...
Yeah.
I'll just have to edit. It's not a big deal. It's not a big deal. I just have to edit it out. Like, it's not the end of the world. But I was looking at him like...
No way.
We've been talking for an hour and 58 minutes? How long
no,
is this?
Not even
how long
close.
Is, this Tommy John
is it going the whole time we're out there in the eclipse?
Going along.
Not even close.
I do want to talk about this more, and I think we will continue throughout
the season
to talk about this. I will say this. I want to put this out there. Area athletes and coaches, if you know of a pitcher from the Northern Michigan area who's undergone Tommy John surgery, we would love to talk to that person.
Hear their story.
I mean, because I really think that we can take an approach in this. We talk to coaches. Mm-hmm. Right? That's one story. Talk to coaches. How are you approaching this? This is a concern now. You know, what are you doing? You know, are you worried about it? And then talk to a player who, you know, maybe after getting out of high school he had Tommy John, or in high school had Tommy John. Please reach out. Let us know. Email myself or Jordan or James. You can find us, resports@record-eagle.com. Reach out, let us know.
And let us know for pitchers on the college level, that are on the college level now. What are the colleges doing?
Right.
You know, because I'm not as familiar with the rules on colleges. I don't know if there is pitch counts. I don't think there are, but maybe there are rules like that in place in college. You know, if there's pitch counts or how often you can pitch, any of those things. Because I've heard a fair number of stories of local good pitchers here going, and once they get into college, their arm goes.
Yeah.
And then they have to have Tommy John.
I will say it right now, dibs on that story for the Pitch Bitters tab. that'll be one that I'm going to take. And I wanted to bring this up as well. Tyler Glasnow, in his interview where he was talking about sticky stuff and how it's actually beneficial in terms of arm health, he said, as just an experiment, he went out there and tried to pitch without using rosin, his rosin sunscreen combination. And he said the next day he hurt in places that he had never hurt before.
Oh,
and when
boy.
He went out for his next start, it wasn't too long into that where he felt the pain again.
Mm-hmm. Dang.
So we need to be protecting our pitchers.
Yeah. Also,
as much as we protect the quarterbacks in football, we have to now start putting that in place.
Absolutely.
For the pitchers.
Yeah. I mean, we remember when I was interviewing Jack Griffiths from TC West, and he was talking about going to doing some of his recruiting things where he was going to camps and everything, and one of them where he had started generating a bunch of good publicity, and a whole bunch of coaches were coming to see him, and the day he went down, I think it was University of Michigan or somewhere, and pitched in front of a bunch of coaches, he was just like, I had thrown too much in the week before that, and he's like, my arm was just dead that day, and all these coaches backed off of him. You know, he still ended up finding the coaches at Butler who still believed in him, and everything. But he's just like, I overdid it, and
I went to that camp and just didn't have it.
Yeah. And then that's the motivator for young pitchers is velocity and movement. Mm-hmm. If they want to continue, but there's got to be some way where it's safer for mm-hmm. you know, I'm not saying this is the next CTE, because that's obviously has far more damaging ramifications to players in terms of like not only their physical health but their mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But this is reaching that level where things now need to be done. Technology needs to be developed, whether it's something that you wear on the arm, or I obviously don't have the answers, and I don't think anybody in this room does, but it's something that every baseball coach, every baseball player, pitcher, whatever, needs to be cognizant of moving forward. It just is. Mm-hmm. So, all right. Do we want to get into our discussion on the new concussion guidelines? Do we want to save that for next week? Since the
I say we save that.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to get going to Charlevoix.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I did kind of figure that was going to be the case. I didn't know how long we were going to go on the Tommy John stuff, and we did go long enough. So next week we will get into a discussion about the new concussion guidelines. If you haven't had a chance to hear about those or read those yet, they're taking an approach now where they are kind of easing student athletes back into physical activity, the classroom, and then resuming full activities, which is a difference from how it was. Basically, if you have a concussion, don't do anything, to then do everything. This is more of a slowly ramping up, which seems to be better. We'll talk a lot more about that next week. Maybe we'll even have a concussion expert as our guest to come on to the show.
That would be nice.
Had I been thinking, we would have done that for
Tommy John.
For Tommy John. But this is...
Live and learn. We live and learn.
You know, this is kind of a way we can approach the podcast from here on out on those weeks when we don't have anything to
live and learn.
Prep sports driven, we can tackle these kind of issues, and I think that
would be
good. But
I like
all right, let's get into the Get Around Hall of Fame, then we'll get into our happy endings, and James will head on out to Charlevoix. All right, so my nomination for our athlete of the week, the Get Around Hall of Fame, is Gaylord's Katie Berkshire. She is a mega talented runner, and I do believe will be Runner of the Year. She'll have a tough one to beat in Aiden Herron this year, but I would put Katie Berkshire as the front runner, definitely, in the next couple of years. I think this is her sophomore.
No pun intended, but front runner.
I did. She's in her sophomore season. She is a talented cross-country runner and obviously talented here as well. She won the 1600 meter and the 3200 meter at the Uper Invite at Lake Superior State University. What was that, Thursday? I think last
week.
Late
in the week, yeah.
During last week.
So, yes, she is my nominee. James, your nomination.
Lauren Tkach from Traverse City West. They opened the season with a pair of dominating wins over Ludington. They scored 41 runs in those games and didn't give up a single run. But she went 3-for-7 with a home run, a triple, and a double in those two games.
I love when softball players just put up ridiculous stats.
Like this.
It's always fun. Like, she had 23 RBIs.
Mm-hmm. I read that. Like, when I got that in, I just looked at it and was like, wow, I wonder how she's feeling right now. She must be smiling.
Jordan, your nominee.
Yeah, I'm going to stick in the softball realm as well, but I'm going to go over to the other side of town. It's Traverse City Central. Cameron Craig threw a no-hitter in the first of a two-game sweep against Midland. She threw for eight innings, finished with 15 strikeouts, and walked 3. Now, not only that, the following game, she went for struck out 10 and walked 4. So if you do the math, that's 25 strikeouts in one game. That is just an absolute weekend performance.
All right. Vote or all three in?
I think we should just start doing all three in.
Makes it easier. It's the top of the – and it's the first one of the spring sports season.
It really is.
So let's give it to
Way to start the season for all three of
these. Congratulations, Gaylord's Katie Berkshire, Traverse City West, Lauren Tkach, and Traverse City Central's Cameron Craig. you are the latest inductees into the Get Around Hall of Fame as our Athletes of the Week. You are now part of the most exclusive club in Northern Michigan. Time to end the show, put a bow on it. Happy endings. What made you happy inside and outside of sports this week? I'm going to get us started. I've been teasing this for quite a while. Saturday marked the one-year passing of my dog, Luna, who, as you've heard me talk about her many times here on this show, she is my soulmate. It might be odd to be soulmates with a dog, but nope. That's just how it happened for me. And I count myself very lucky that's what happened. So it was her one-year passing on Saturday. Last year, on April, I think it was April 2nd, that was the first Saturday night of WrestleMania last year. And that was the last night where she was okay. It was the last night where Luna was still in good spirits, was still, you know, I could tell that she, you know, it wasn't going to be much longer, but she had a night where she was comfy, she wasn't in pain, she had an appetite, she was playful, she was affectionate, and her and I laid in bed together and watched the first night of WrestleMania. Nice. And it was extremely... I mean, to me, one of these days, it's one of the greatest nights of my life, just being in the presence of each other's love and knowing that our physical time together was coming to an end, but we still had that one beautiful night together where we were just with each other. And so I went back home to my parents this weekend. Saturday marked the one year mark of her passing, and it was also the first night, it was the Saturday night of WrestleMania. And I went back, sat in the same bed, watched on the same TV, had the lights the same way, and I had her ashes next to me. I had the ashes of my previous dogs there as well. My current dog, Saint, came down into the basement. My sister's dog, Charlie, came down into the basement. And throughout the night, I had these several moments where I could feel my heart just get completely full. Like, you can just, like, when you're the Grinch and your heart grows three sizes too many, that's what I was feeling in my heart. And I knew that was her coming back to me in that moment, saying, hey, I'm here with you too. Everyone's here. Let's
enjoy the night.
And so I decided Saturday night, I went from now for the rest of my life, the first night of WrestleMania, that Saturday night, will be forever known as Luna's night.
Nice. Love that.
It is the moment that her and I will share together for forever.
Nice.
And that is what made me happy. And then coming back here Sunday night, spending time with friends, watching another great night of wrestling, shared experiences with people. And I think as I've gotten older, I'm less afraid to not only share that joy with others, but also express it.
Nice.
And express love and care and let people know that they're important. And so it was just a good weekend, despite I had several breakdowns, lots of crying, but it was still a wonderful experience. So, James, I know you got to get going.
You're wrestling lunacy, you could call it.
Yes.
I kind of like it. That might be the name of my pay-per-view.
Yes.
So that's what made me happy. It was just if you can find moments like that, you know, for the people out there listening, don't take them for granted and really, awesome. Really experience them. Let your body open up to it and your mind and everything.
That was awesome.
I know that sounds like too spiritual and stuff like that, but it's...
We need it once in a while.
So, no. What made you guys happy?
I just had kind of a good week. You know, I had a couple of days where I was able to, you know, link up with some friends, and go out, do some stuff, still be productive and get things done and everything, but just, you know, hang around with some people, you know, which we don't necessarily always get to do during the hectic,
season.
Well, just the hectic part of all the seasons, really.
Yeah.
That part.
Once they get going and everything, it's making time for those things is a little harder. So I was able to work a few things in around interviews and things like that, and go hang around with some people and have some fun, and it was nice.
Yeah, see, connection with people, man. That's what I'm trying more and more here as this team continues forward, providing sports coverage for Northern Michigan.
Hey yo,
is really trying to find that solid work life balance. And I'm really key on making sure that I provide that for you guys, and you guys are good at providing that for me when I need it. So,
oh, yeah.
Jordan, what made you happy?
Man, okay. I've sat on this for a good 24 hours, it seems like. Maybe 12 hours. Less than 12 hours. Approaching 24 hours. Anyways, I have never really watched WrestleMania ever in my entire life. I've only played the video games.
Next year. We got you this year. We're getting James next year.
Yeah, I've only played the video games. Me and my cousin, since I was a kid, will always hook up WWE on the consoles and play countless hours. I'm talking like almost 12 hours. Just John Cena, The Rock, just starts going back and forth of who's the best. And I will always remember that. And then just this weekend, obviously, I hear the news that The Rock is partaking in this, and I just had to watch. Sent out a tweet saying I was interested. Harrison Beebe hit me up saying, come through. I was like, you know what? I know this guy has been begging me to watch sports with him since I moved here. I'm going to go ahead and do it. So I went over to his house, watched WrestleMania. He was kind enough to throw the UConn game on the side, but I was not paying attention to that. I was more paying attention to WrestleMania. I get it. I get it now. I actually get it. It makes sense. It does. I get the hype around it. That is your Super Bowl. Like, I never realized. Like, I was asking a couple of the guys that were there. Pardon me if I forget a lot of their names, but I kept looking at them and asking them, like, do they always sell out football stadiums? They're like, yes. Like, so every WrestleMania since they've done the football stadiums, they've packed it out. He's like, yeah. It's like, okay. So this is what I went. I went in with an open mind. Just I know what I'm gonna. I know some of this stuff may seem. I don't want to say fake, but it's just you can tell. But there's a storyline to it. So I get that.
It's silly.
It's silly, yes. But it is
that's
entertaining.
Yeah.
You.
That's what's
it's
great about
so
it.
Entertaining.
It's so dumb and silly. And it's so over the top and unnecessarily over the top,
yes,
that you're just like,
you just,
oh,
this is absurd.
Yeah.
And
you,
so
you bask in the absurdity.
Yeah. And so obviously with the first night, with the tag team of, what is it, Roman Reigns and The Rock, I was jumping for joy because I didn't know what to expect. I honestly thought they were going to lose, but no, he wins. And then the following night, I obviously was not in the great mental state to hang out with people, so I just needed to be to myself. I left AMC work that I do on every Sundays. I got home. I put on some basketball. I knew it was 7 o'clock, so I tuned in for the first one. And I forgot who it was, but that person had lost. And I recognized the name. It was, oh, Seth freaking Rollins.
Yep.
I watched him lose, and I knew that was a big deal because he's held it for a long time. I learned the storylines as I was watching this, and then I waited all the way to the end, and then I was like, okay, I'm going to watch the main event, which really was the main event. The fact that I saw not only John Cena come out, The Undertaker come out, The Rock come out, I just sat there just absolutely smiling. Like, what am I watching? Like, what am I watching? And then on top of that, Cody Rhodes finally wins because I know it's been such a long time, and I learned about his dad used to be a part of this, and he never won, and how The Rock was always shaming his mom. Like, the whole build-up around it made me realize I get it now. Like, this is absurd. This is absurd, but this is so entertaining that I'm wondering when the next WrestleMania is because I want to watch. It is absurd. Now we got to get him into this because you never, you have to go in with an open mind.
I used to watch it a lot. I've watched a clip of it today. I saw the part where John Cena, like, rips everything off the table.
He's just running with his outfit.
And then body slams the guy through the table and all that. And
like, you don't expect him to come out. Like, I get, like, no, none of the announcers, none of Pat McAfee, not even Adam Cole or the Mystics or the Myth. they don't know what's happening, so they're learning on the fly as all of us is. That's what I enjoy about that, is that they don't even know either.
You're talking about it, and I'm getting goosebumps because, like, this means
it makes sense. It gets cool. That's so dope. I love that. I honestly love this for you.
And
it
means something to the people in it as well, because I don't know if you heard it, but the woman who announced when Cody Rhodes won, I don't know if you heard, her voice broke.
Yeah, everyone was cried.
Her voice cracked. She was so overcome with emotion. Her name is Samantha Irving.
Even Adam Cole cried.
The best.
Yeah.
Probably the best in wrestling right now at being an announcer. Even and when she announced it to the crowd, she was crying. Overly emotional. It was amazing because you look at I know it's soap opera, and I know that it's predetermined, and I get that, but it's just the most fun. I think I said to Harrison and my good friend John last night. I'm like, if anybody takes time to watch this, they'll be hooked. They will understand.
I do, actually.
Like, it will just happen. It you just go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I get it.
That's me. I do owe Harrison an apology because I did not show up, and he blames me for Roman Reigns losing. So I'm sorry for all of the Tribal Chief supporters. I'm sorry about that.
They're coming after you today.
Yeah, they really are. It's kind of interesting.
So. All right. Well, that will wrap up episode 280, right? Everyone got their good things in, everything that made you happy.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 280 of the Get Around Podcast, the Eclipse episode. thank you all so much. And also the episode where I recorded on an old episode. And God, I hope that we have everything. we'll see. But yeah, for now, thank you so much to our loyal and lovely Audible viewers. Thank you to James. Thank you to Jordan. Thank you to myself. This has been episode 280 of the Get Around Podcast, and it is now in the books.